Please take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 19, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. And I'll reverence the God who just said this word today. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. He entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. He was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. So running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, because today it is necessary for me to stay in your house. So he quickly came down and welcomed him joyfully. All who saw it began to complain, he's gone to stay with a sinful man. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. Today, salvation has come to this house, Jesus told him, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. As we continue in our study through the Gospel of Luke, let me remind you that you need to, when you're studying Scripture, don't just take a verse out of context, but see how it fits into the whole of the passage in which it's contained, because there's more depth of meaning as you see where it's placed. Wednesday night, we were in our previous verses, and Jesus was talking about to his disciples what was going to happen very soon. He has finished 3 years of ministry, proclaiming the good news, proclaiming the need for us to repent from our sins, to find the way of righteousness. He was healing all the sick, curing all diseases, casting out demons, and he is now heading to Jerusalem. He said many times that he's going to Jerusalem to die, but now he's most specific to his disciples, and he tells them, in verse 32 of chapter 18, now let's start verse 32. Then he took the 12 aside and told them, see, we are going up to Jerusalem. Everything that was written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles. He will be mocked, insulted, spit on, and they will flog him, and they will kill him, and he will rise on the third day. Jesus is not surprised what happens to him later. He has been telling the disciples what is going to happen. But look at verse 34. The disciples, they understood none of these things. The meaning of the sayings was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. It's like an illustration I used Wednesday. A husband talking to a wife, or a wife talking to the husband, and the other is not listening. You know, you focus on something else, and you start talking, and then you can tell the conversation they're not listening to you, because you can start saying something else. Dan, we need to go down to the store to get this and pick up 3 elephants, 4 giraffes, and a partridge in a pear tree. Okay, dear. Too often, we hear the sound, but don't listen to what's being said. The disciples heard the sound, but they did not understand. And they didn't question Jesus about it. What does this mean? Is this one of your parables? Now, this is very amazing. Peter is one that always is talking. Even if he doesn't know what to say, he's got to talk. Some person humorously said, if you see a painting of the disciples, you know which one's Peter, because he's the one with his foot in his mouth. But we can laugh at that now. because we would have asked the same questions. Since Peter asked him, we got the answer. Well, Peter didn't even ask, what does this mean? But then they come to Jericho, and there's a blind man. He hears a commotion. What's going on? He asks, Jesus of Nazareth is coming into town. He's told. Remember, he's told, Jesus from Nazareth. But the blind man cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now you might mention that a little bit if you understand. The title Son of David is a title for the Messiah, the one that was going to set everything straight for Israel, the one that was bringing the promise of God. The blind man couldn't see with his eyes, but with his heart, he could see who Jesus really was. He was the promised Messiah. The people said, stop yelling, blind man. But the blind man called out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus called him over and said, what will you have? I want to see. And Jesus said, you can see. Your faith has saved you. Now, it wasn't because that he called out to Jesus, but he understood who Jesus was that saved him. And all the people gave glory to God because they recognized that's not something that a normal person knows. Jesus has been showing that he is God in the body through all the miraculous things he had done. And what does this blind man do? He starts following Jesus. He's been searching for Jesus. Remember, previously last Sunday, we looked at the quote-unquote righteous rich ruler, the guy that thought he was righteous, that he kept all the commandments until Jesus pointed out to him that money was more important to him than the relationship with God. As Jesus said, he mentioned about the commandments related to how we treat other people, but then he focused on the one commandment, the first commandment, which is to have no other God before me. So take it and sell all you have, give it to the people, and come follow me. He said, the man went away sad. It wasn't that you have to give all your money away to follow Jesus. It means money should not be more important than God. And we're going to see that in today's passage. Because we come to another rich man. And this rich man's name is Zacchaeus. Now I remember when I was growing up in Sunday school, we always sang songs about Zacchaeus. He was a short little man. And I forget all the other words. There's not a hymn in the hymnal about Zacchaeus. But there are all David Tuffers in the testimony. Well, Zacchaeus, he's in Jericho. Zacchaeus is a man that is a chief tax collector. Now, who is he collecting taxes for? He's collecting taxes for the Roman government. Israel is an occupied place. The Romans have taken over Israel, and they are taxing everyone to support their occupation of Israel. Zacchaeus is seen as a traitor. He's working for the enemy. He's collecting money from us and giving it to them. And a tax collector, it was sort of like a franchise they had. They had a certain territory that they had authority over. And Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. So he has a big territory and a lot of other tax collectors working under him, collecting taxes. So he's one of the big, important enemies showing Israel about the fact that they are not a free nation. And he's trying to confuse them. Zacchaeus is looked down upon by everyone around him. But he wants to see Jesus. But he's a short man. And that short man says, I can't see him from the crowd. So I'll run and climb a tree. Sounds like something a child. But remember, passage, chapter 18, verse 17. Jesus tells his disciples, truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a child will never enter the book. And Zacchaeus is acting like a little child. He's going to run and climb a tree to see what he can't see otherwise. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, today I need to stay here. Notice Jesus didn't say, hey, local man in the tree, what's your name? Jesus already knew. Jesus already knew what was in Zacchaeus' heart. Jesus already knew why Zacchaeus was up in the tree. Jesus already knew Zacchaeus was trying to find out more about Jesus. God knows our hearts. He knows the motivation of why we do what we do. We can't fool God. Now there's a lot of people that we can fool. We can fool, I think the saying goes, some of the people all the time, all the people some of the time, but I add to it, you can fool God none of the time. God knows why we're doing what we're doing and knows what's in our hearts. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I need nothing more. I see this as a foreshadowing of what's going to happen to Zacchaeus. Because once we repent of our sins and ask God to forgive us, he comes and lives with us. Jesus is going to Zacchaeus' physical house, which eventually going to live in the spiritual house, the heart of Zacchaeus. But what do the people say? The crowds around him start complaining about Jesus and about Zacchaeus. Here's the man that just a few moments before took a blind man and gave him sight. And now they're saying, he's going to a sinful man's house. From one moment, glorifying God because of what he's done, to another, he's not doing the right thing. Now, we would never do anything like that. We would never look at God's ability to create everything, God's ability to forgive sin, God's promise that he loves us so much that he came to his creation and died for our sin debt so that we could have access to heaven. We wouldn't then say, God, you're not doing things right. You let this happen. You let that happen. You let them get sick. You let someone die. You let my bank account be less than my bill account. God, you don't know what you're doing. Not always. Sometimes we pray because we feel who God is. God is the creator of the universe who has everything under control. But he is never, he has never been out of the world. He is not out of the world. Tell us his plan. He just tells us, I got everything under control. Follow my plan. Zacchaeus. When people are complaining about what Jesus is doing, He's going to the house of a sinful man. Zacchaeus says to Jesus, "Lord, I give half of all my possessions to the poor. And if I've ever taken more money than I should have, I'm going to pay back that person four times more than I could." The scripture says, if you defrauded someone, you're going to pay back twice as much as you could. Zacchaeus said, "I'll do it four times." And Jesus said, "Salvation has now come to this house." Was it because of what Zacchaeus did? He bought his way into heaven. He showed what the rich young ruler didn't show. The rich young ruler, money was his God. Zacchaeus showed, "I want to be more in a relationship with you. I'll give away what I have. Money is not my God. All of you." Turn me to the letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I remember somebody telling me this one time. If you're trying to find where Ephesians is, if after Corinthians, you have Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, go eat popcorn. So if you remember, go eat popcorn. If you're in Galatians, it's one more over. If you're in Philippians, you go back one. Or God's electric power company, if you like that one. So it's right after Galatians. Ephesians chapter 2. And I don't remember who told me that, but pass it on and pay it forward. Galatians, or Ephesians chapter 2, beginning of verse 8. Look at what it says here. "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for his works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do." We are not saved by what we do. We're saved to do things to show we are saved. Now, most everyone in here has flown on a plane. Some people might not have, but anytime someone flies on a plane, you have to have faith that that plane is going to carry you to your destination until you get on the plane. Now, if you do not believe that plane can carry you to your destination, you don't get on it. Actually, I believe you're going to want to talk about it. I don't want to get on it. I want to get in a plane. And if that old Flintstones cartoon, they got on the wings of the pterodactyl that was flying in the plane. But you get in a plane here, showing your faith in the plane. Now, are you the one flying the plane? No. You're the pilot. Most of us are not pilots, and we're flying commercial airliners. Now, if you're somebody who came in with their pilot uniform on, I say, except for this person over here. But some of you might be pilots. It's okay. It's good. I like to fly. When I'm in a plane, I don't like to fly from the mountain. The landing is much more difficult when I'm not in a plane. Well, we have faith when we get in a plane that we're not going to fall from 30,000 feet and go splat when we hit the ground. Well, we need to have faith that God is going to carry us to our destination, and that is heaven, by having our faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in what He has promised, not in our own ability. James even goes more and says this. Now, I was thinking of talking about going popcorn, Now, those of you who are reading your Bible, a lot of people have their pocket. Your phone is the oldest pocket in. So much quicker. James, right after the book of Hebrews, and don't have to read that phone. Do you know what the best life for the people is? The one you have right in front of you? Okay. So, James, chapter 2, beginning verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Can such faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, stay warm and be well fed, but you don't give him what the body needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe, and not in one. Good. Even demons believe. We're not saved by our works, but our works give evidence we are saved. Just like getting in that plane gives evidence you believe that plane will carry you to your destination. Now, some people wonder what Jesus' mission was. Now, if you've ever driven by here, you might have seen under that tree out there a sheriff's car. Why is the sheriff there? What is the sheriff's purpose doing in the church parking lot? Is that church under investigation for something? Is that sheriff's car there because he's trying to catch students? Is that sheriff's car there because he's about to bust down the door of my neighbor's house because they're not doing the things that they should be doing, at least I think. We have all kind of ideas. He's doing his paperwork. They can't do their paperwork when they're driving. I've seen people try to write things down when they're driving. It's also a parking lot that's in the center of their territory that they're responsible for. So he's in a position, if he gets a call, he's not far away. So if somebody breaks into your house, he's right there, he can come down and help them deal with that need. Or if there's an accident on the road, and there's not many accidents on this road as there used to be, but it's a two-lane road, there's still too many accidents. That sheriff's out there, he's got a purpose. Now sometimes, I've seen that about 10 sheriffs talk a lot. They're out there for different purposes. They're about to go execute a warrant in some place that's not very safe, and so they're all staging. But most of the time you see one sheriff there, it's good. He's also there as our unpaid sheriff. We have not had anybody break into the church, so the sheriff's going to do his paperwork in the parking lot. Thank you, Sheriff, every chance I get, thank you for being here. Now, don't try to scare them. That's not a good idea. Don't try to jump up and scare somebody that's carrying a gun. That is very unwise. But you walk up there and see and say, thank you for being here. Well, Jesus had a mission. Why did he come to his creation? He was in heaven. He had created everything. And he tells us in verse 1, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Who's lost? Everyone is. We are hopeless, headed for eternity in hell without the salvation of Jesus Christ. Not because God is mean, but because we are sinners. A lot of people look at their sins. we have broken God's standard of holiness. And there's no way we can be right with God on earth. But we are, as it says, saved by Christ. We're saved by the Lord. Now, Wednesday night, as we continue our study, or you can read ahead anytime you want, we're going to talk about how people who are opposed to Jesus' ministry received it. Some wanted him not to be in charge. We see that a lot in our world today. A lot of people try to thumb their nose at God's word. That doesn't mean he's not in charge. It just means that person is ignoring the truth. We have an opportunity right now to acknowledge different that we are sinners, that we are facing God's judgment, and the only way we can face God's judgment to not be sent to hell is to have our sin that created Jesus Christ to save us from us, to pay our debt and sin. And he tells us, I'm coming back, I'm going to thank you. The past month, there have been many people that you knew were Christians that died. They went before God's judgment seat and heard, enter into heaven, well done, good and faithful servant. There are also many people that died that heard from Jesus, depart from me. Zacchaeus was one that the crowds thought should fear from God, depart from me. And Jesus said, I'm the Savior. Sure, we'll be able to speak with Zacchaeus. I don't know if he's still going to be a weaseled man or not, because God didn't describe the height of our body in heaven. He said, I'm going to get a new body. And we don't have to look for Zacchaeus' name ever. In heaven, and what is written on it. Everybody will know our name and will know their name. Which helps me a lot. I can't even remember the students I had last year. I can remember their faces. I know that's my students. Maybe if I can get them to say something else, remember the name of the people. Sometimes he does. But God knows our name. He knew Zacchaeus' name. And he brought salvation to Zacchaeus. He saw him in the tree. Salvation came to Zacchaeus. What are you going to do with God's help for salvation? I'll be here in the service of God. We've got the instruction of the apostles and the prophets. Dear God, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you that your mission is to seek and to save the lost. You are still seeking and you are still seeking. Let us not be like the rich young ruler that chose money over you. But let us be like Zacchaeus, who chose you, who view us a person. And then let us go in the heart of here to share your great love with all we do. Understanding that it is not up to us to convince them. It's just our mission to tell them about your love. We should pray in our situation. In Jesus' name.